Good morning. We're going to look today. It's not a foreign topic. It's been talked about maybe a couple of times here. Maybe once in a while. We'll mention the word baptism. I have had some sermons recently on baptism, but there's been a number of people that have asked for some lessons on baptism, that there's been some questions that they've had. There's been some questions ranging, you know, baptism is not just getting into the baptistry back there and getting wet. There's a lot more to it than that. And a number of individuals have had some questions themselves about baptism, about their experience, maybe their lack of experience, things like this. And if you've been baptized, great, great. Hopefully this will reinforce some knowledge that you can have to share with others. If you haven't been baptized, I really want you to pay attention. Hopefully we will answer a lot of questions that individuals have had, and maybe something that maybe you also have had a question. First of all, what is baptism? It's not just getting wet. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, which literally means to immerse, to submerge. We have a number of examples comparing baptism to a burial. You know, I hope we don't just kind of lay somebody out and throw a couple of handfuls of dirt on somebody to bury them. Hopefully they are fully buried into the ground. The word for sprinkle, which many religious groups will use the process of sprinkling or pouring, those are totally different words in the Greek and are never used in the context of what we call baptism in the New Testament. In fact, sprinkling didn't even come along for over 1,000 years. 1,000 years later, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the 1300s. So it was some considerable time before people started doing that. There was a Catholic cardinal, James Gibbons, that lived in the 1800s and early 1900s, and he gave the reason why they sprinkle to explain why some religions do the practice of sprinkling. He said it was a matter of less inconvenience. I don't see where baptism is ever seen as an inconvenient situation to begin with. But I never see it explained like that in the Bible. In John 3, verse 23, it says, "Now John was also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized." Much water. If there was, we don't have a single example in the New Testament, nothing implies that people were ever sprinkled. When we see baptism, it was people were coming because there was much water for you to be buried with him in baptism. not just a little spritzing, not just taking a little bit and pouring on. In Mark 1:5 it says, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Why? Because there was much water there. In Acts 8, we see Philip teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. And earlier in the passage, it talks about how he started with Jesus. You know, Colin led us in the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. The story of Jesus is a story of baptism. To be saved through baptism by Jesus, His blood. And the eunuch was studying Old Testament scripture, and Philip started where he was and preached Jesus to him. And as they're traveling down the road, it says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? That's how the conversation and the lesson had progressed. Well, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Goes on to say, then Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. That's an example we have of biblical baptism. These are some archaeological examples of some first century baptistries. And we see, in a lot of ways, not a lot of difference from ours today. Not super deep. You're not going to be going swimming around in them. But they are deep enough to submerge, to be buried in baptism. These are some examples in the Middle East of first century baptistries. Why? Why be baptized? Nothing better to do? Don't have anything scheduled for Tuesday afternoon? So let's be baptized. It's for forgiveness of sins. Case closed. It is not to be done to please parents, to get parents off your back. To get away from the pressure of maybe, you know, all your brothers and sisters have been baptized and we're still waiting on you. It is not for that. It is the most important decision an individual can ever make in their life. And it has to be the most individual decision. An individual decision and a conscious decision to be baptized. It's not done due to emotion. Maybe getting caught up in the emotion that maybe church camp. Maybe your best friend. Maybe your spouse got baptized. Maybe the emotion of being included. It's not for that. There is no more personal decision than baptism you can ever make. It's not to join a group. You're not baptized to join us with this group. The Lord adds you to His church after baptism. You don't do it to join. It's not the ceremony. I remember in Boy Scouts, we as people would would get different ranks and stuff like that. We'd have little ceremonies of symbolizing that you're in that group now. It's not a ritual. It's not a, you know, jumping over, you know, the hoop to be part of that group. You're not baptized from pressure. From pressure from your family. Pressure from a congregation. You're not doing it because your girlfriend or boyfriend won't marry you unless you've... I'm hearing some... That happens. To be accepted by the family. I don't want to marry a non-Christian. Okay, it's just getting wet. I'm doing it, but my heart's not in it. If it's for any other reason than for forgiveness of sins, it wasn't a true baptism. Got wet, but it's not a baptism. In Acts 2, 37 and 8, we looked at this scripture earlier. Day of Pentecost. And Peter had been preaching Jesus. That this Jesus whom you killed was the Savior, the Messiah, the one that you've been looking for. And verse 37 says, "Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren," they were beside themselves. "We killed the Savior? We killed the Savior that we had been expecting, that our forefathers had been looking for. And we killed him? Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not to join a group, and you'll also get a monthly newsletter and a decoder ring. It's for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. When they realized they had sin in their life. 1 Peter 3:21, the Apostle Peter says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism." I don't know how so many religious people that maybe attend faithfully on every Sunday get around the fact that baptism now saves us. And it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. It's not the fact that we're scrubbing our skin clean. We're being washed in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's taking place. It's not the, you know, we don't have soap and a scrub brush and a little rubber ducky back there. That's not what it's about. It's not the cleansing of our flesh. We're being cleansed by the blood of Jesus when we're baptized. Mark 16:16. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." If you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to go to the trouble of being baptized. You're not going to go, what was it that cardinal said? Something of less inconvenience. You're not going to go to that problem. Jesus said, and I just, the people that argue scripturally baptism, I don't know, if they want to argue with Jesus, the Son of God, that's their prerogative, but they're going to lose. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Who needs to be baptized? We see in the religious world, people use the word baptize or baptism relatively loosely. Were you baptized? Yeah, I was baptized. I was baptized as a baby. A bunch of us are going to go and be baptized for, we've done our genealogy, and we're going to be baptized for dead relatives to make sure that they were saved. There are some religious groups that will even be baptized for dead people that they're not even related to. That those people had no say-so in it. Who needs to be baptized are those that are accountable, that are of age, not a baby, not an infant. That little bitty baby, little baby Amaya back there, has no sin. It's for forgiveness of sins. Little bitty Gavin, he doesn't have sin. He does maybe some things wrong if he doesn't mind his mom or dad. Doesn't clean his room when he should. It's not. There's a difference in that and sin. Little Gavin doesn't have sin yet. Little Oliver can be loud. Amen. But he doesn't have sin. He's a sweet, innocent little boy. Those accountable need to be baptized. Not infants, not little kids, not the dead. It's too late for them. They had their chance. Who needs to be baptized? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Baptism is for forgiveness of sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 14:12, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. When I go and stand on judgment day, I want God to see the blood of Christ covering me, not my darkened sin. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Acts 8:12, but when they believed is always associated with action following it up. It's not just a mental acceptance of Jesus. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Who needs to be baptized? People that understand. People that understand. And the eunuch understood. Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Is there anything that hinders me? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we know the rest of the story, that he was baptized. Well, I believe. That's all I need to do. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, I'm traveling. We stopped and studied a little bit. I'm a little behind schedule. I already believe. So isn't that good enough? He stopped. They got out of the chariot. They went down into the water, and he was baptized. Acts 18:8. I think this was our scripture reading this morning. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. What a natural progression. They've heard the word of God. They believed it, and as a result of believing it, they were baptized. There's only one baptism. I know we use the term rebaptized, or I'm going to be baptized again. I know we use terms like that. I've even used them myself. That's an incorrect term. It's an incorrect term. There's only one baptism. There are people that can get wet numerous times in life. There is only one baptism. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul is telling the Christians in Ephesus that there's one body. This concept of one is very important. There's only one body. There's not multiple bodies out there. We are the church. The church. We are a congregation of the church. There's one body. There is one Spirit. There's one hope. There is one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. And there's one God and Father. There's only one. Acts 19. We see people that had gone through a baptism, but it wasn't the baptism that they needed. It was the baptism of John. And we see that when they were taught correctly, I've already been baptized. And you fill in the blank. I was baptized under John. Or I was baptized as a baby. Or I was baptized by another group that doesn't believe the same stuff. When they were taught correctly and fully, they were baptized correctly. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him." That is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They thought they had been baptized. They hadn't been. They had been baptized into John's baptism. People were familiar with the concept of baptism. If a person has been taught incorrectly and was baptized, went through a ceremony of something, and then they are taught correctly, they need to be baptized scripturally into the name of Jesus Christ. Not for a reason of something else, not for the wrong concept. You don't translate. You don't translate one concept to another. It doesn't work like that. But I got my refrigerator fixed. I got my refrigerator fixed. I don't need to call Kathy for my air conditioning to be fixed. I already got my refrigerator fixed. It doesn't work like that. You can't be, we'll use the word, baptized into a group that taught incorrectly. And it transfer to the correct way. It doesn't work. When should one be baptized? Immediately. Immediately. Upon your conviction. Just like the people on the day of Pentecost. They were cut to the heart. They realized that they needed to be saved. And Peter told them. And they did it. They didn't wait. They didn't make an appointment. Well, let's wait until we have 6 or 7 people and then we'll do it all together. Or, I want to be baptized. Okay, we do it on the 3rd Saturday of the month at 4 o'clock. Bring this, this, and this. It'll be filmed. We'll give you a CD of it afterwards. And you get a t-shirt. Oh, man. That happens. That happens. I'm saying it jokingly. That happens. And people buy it. And their soul is in jeopardy because of it. It's not scheduled. Well, I'll do it when it's convenient. I'm busy right now. Family's coming in. I want to wait. You know, Aunt Gertrude's coming in from Des Moines, Iowa. I want her to be here. I don't see that in the New Testament. You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. Waiting. The day of Pentecost, they did it immediately. The eunuch, when he saw water, what hinders me from being baptized? I stop the chariot. I want to do it now. Not that I'm on a journey and when I get to Jerusalem and then when I get back home, I want my family to be there. I'm doing it now. Lydia, after she was preached to, she and her family were baptized. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16. They were baptized immediately, that hour. After they had the Word of God preached to them, they were baptized. Where does someone get baptized? We can do it in a baptistry, a river. We see examples of the Jordan River, a lake, a pool, a pond, a trough. I've seen people be baptized in galvanized horse troughs. I've seen people be baptized in muddy ponds. It's not the water that cleanses you. I've seen some water that was a little murky. Was somebody else saved better because the water was clearer? No. Because it's not the water. It's the obedience to God. Much water. We've looked at that scripture. The Jordan River. Some questions you need to ask yourself, or if you've been baptized, that you might need to ask others when you study with them. And if you haven't been baptized properly, you got to ask yourselves this. Have you been baptized, and was it in the biblical way? Not based on what somebody else says, not based on a practice that a group does in this location. What does the Bible say? What does God say about it? And was it for forgiveness of your sins? If you need to respond to the invitation of baptism, don't wait. We are not guaranteed the next 2 minutes of life, much less tomorrow. If you need to respond to the invitation to repent of sin in your life, if that sin is keeping you from, you've been baptized, but actions, attitudes are keeping you from fully serving God. Repent. Repent of those sins. Turn away. Make amends. If you need prayers of this congregation, and I want to thank you for all the prayers you've given on our behalf for our son, who's home now after 3 weeks in the hospital and making baby steps, getting stronger, doing well, hopefully. He just keeps getting better, hopefully. If you've been looking for a church home, I know we've had some people lately that have been attending, visiting, returning back and back and back, looking for a church home, that have said they kind of like it here. They like what they see. They like that it's from the Bible. Sure not coming for the pretty face up front. Hopefully it's for the biblical reasons. If you need to respond to the invitation, whatever it is, please come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation song, and we'll address your needs. Let us stand and sing.